Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Happy weekend. I don't know when you're listening to this, but I hope you're having a great weekend. And on our show today, we have Congressman Chip Roy, who is speaking out rather courageously against mandatory vaccines, about the fourth branch of government, and the weaponization of our health agencies. If you want to support our program, this is brought to you advertiser-free. No advertisers, because you support us at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Maybe you had a great year financially. Maybe you run a Clorox company that sold a lot of product, like Charles from Texas. Thank you for supporting us. Or maybe you have inherited an incredible amount of money without you even planning for it. Thank you, Ernest from Ohio, for supporting us. Thank you, Edith, for being a monthly supporter at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Josh from Rhode Island. Thank you. John, thank you. Sykin from Boston, thank you. Cody from Washington, just some of our supporters at charliekirk.com/support. You give us the support that allows us to hire more staff and get closer to our mission, our goal of reaching millions of young people every single month. charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, I'm recording this live from our Student Action Summit. You should get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Chip Roy is here. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. With us today is Congressman Chip Roy. Congressman, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. I saw you on Tucker Carlson recently, and I loved what you were saying, and you and I were texting back and forth afterwards, and I wanted to dive deeper into it. Floor is yours. Talk about the vaccine, the mandates behind it, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, Charlie, well, great, obviously, to be on the show. Thanks for coming to the district I represent, Texas 21, not long ago in Bandera, Texas. The folks there still talk about that visit, so thanks for doing it. And look, last night I went on Tucker because I've been, you know, hitting this pretty hard in social media about the vaccine. And what I said last night, which you heard, which may have sounded a little too pro-vaccine, to be honest with you, was that I am for vaccines if you're informed and you think it's good and it's good for you and it's good for your family. My dad had polio, as I said on Tucker's show. I watched his body being ravaged by polio over his whole life. I'm glad that I could avail myself of a polio vaccine and so could my kids. But we're looking at this vaccine. It is not FDA approved. It's been pushed out there on an emergency basis. People are looking at information. They're trying to decide what's good for them and their families. There's very legitimate questions about the impact on young women and whether or not it aggregates around the ovaries of young girls. There was a study this week about the Johnson & Johnson virus, about the neurological impacts. We know that there's been myocardia and other heart issues where we've seen with young people. Why are we trying to shove this into children when the risk to children of the virus is probably much less than the risk of taking the vaccine if you're under 12 or even under 18. Look at the data, look at the truth. And what I went on Tucker last night to talk about, Charlie, and I think you and I agree with this completely, is we should not be having the federal government mandating that we have to take a vaccine when in fact we are capable of making decisions based on the information if we can have the honest truth. A few other questions. How much money are these massive pharmaceutical companies going to make with pushing this virus out? And oh, by the way, now they're talking about boosters. Now they're talking about the second round. Why is it that we've now had 57% of kids over the age of 12 get vaccinated? Do you really think a 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old is in such danger? You've got to race down and get them vaccinated? That's in significant part because of the pressure Democrats have been putting on people to say, you must go get vaccinated. So that's what I was going on Tucker to talk about, and happy to get any more details.
Yeah, so I want to get into that, and for a variety of different reasons. And the polio vaccine was a major breakthrough scientifically of inoculation and Jonas Salk. deserve a lot of credit with that. And then we've gotten into this period, though, where we now have a huge, mass amount of vaccines for children, 72 plus. That's a different topic for a different time. But right now, this specific vaccine has emergency use authorization and has not gone through the same multi-year clinical trials, obviously, because it's been kind of pushed into the forefront of this. And if you're 75 years old and you have comorbidities, taking this vaccine might be the right choice. It might be because, you know, COVID poses a huge threat to you potentially. Where you're 19 years old, not as much. And so Congressman, can you zero in? Maybe I'm missing something. Why is it that they're trying to now forcibly vaccinate teenagers and children? What could the possible explanation for that be?
Well, this is all about power. And it's all about Democrats wanting to project power and then use this virus as an excuse to force more of us into their government-controlled healthcare system. And that's the truth. And beyond healthcare, it's all about control. And that's evident in how they're reacting to it, right? Like the quote from HHS Secretary Becerra, right? We're spending lots of money on this virus. Therefore, we, the government, the federal government, have a right to know whether you've been vaccinated. Now, think about that for a second. Just pause. This is America, right? We're all going around, well, not all of us. Some of us are applauding the people on the streets in Cuba and saying we should stand with them. But wait, hold on a second. Why are we doing that? Because we believe in freedom. But are we actually free in this country? Truly, Charlie. I mean, it's a question. Are we actually free when you've got the federal government, officials of the federal government saying they have a right to know whether or not you've been vaccinated because they, in their infinite wisdom, are spending trillions of dollars shutting down our economy, shutting down small businesses, forcing our kids to wear masks, closing our schools down. Like you can tell, I've got a palm tree behind me. I'm in South Carolina on vacation with some longtime friends of mine. I've been for 30 years. I went to a restaurant in New Orleans on the way, Mother's, right? It's a famous place, po' boys, you know, in the front, near the French Quarter. I went to a famous restaurant in Charleston last night. I went to a place on Hilton Head Island just this afternoon for lunch. Every one of those restaurants, I talked to the owners. And every one of them talked about how they're getting decimated, destroyed by the Democrats' plan, by what they're doing, by paying people not to work. Now, that's a different subject for a different podcast, but it's related. It's related to your question. The Democrats are using the power of government to interfere with every aspect of your life, and it's about control. You said another thing about the vaccines that I think merits a little bit more exploration. On my way here, we stopped in Auburn, Alabama, where my very dear friend and Senator Cruz's former legislative director, she suffers from multiple sclerosis. She has two children that have some health issues I don't get into out of her own privacy. But she has been studying the impacts of multiple vaccinations and what that means for various illnesses that we're now seeing in a lot of children. There's a lot of stuff we need to understand about vaccines and what it does to human beings, what it does to our children. I'm for vaccines. I'm for them when you're informed and you think that the risks, you know, that the positives of the vaccines outweigh the risks of whatever you might get. Polio was one of those for me.
Yes.
There are questions even about the polio vaccine, but that was one of those for me that I was like, you know what? I saw what that does. But all of these vaccines we take, and now they want to ram this down our throats after 6 months. And by the way, who are you going to sue if everything goes south? Because right now it's not the federal government and it's not the pharmaceutical companies because they're exempt because it's an emergency basis vaccine. Are the feds telling you that? No.
So that's such a good point. And I want to kind of walk through that because you and I are both free market guys. And most importantly, we're private property people. And so one of the mechanisms that we have as consumers is that if a business does something awful, we can go to a court and we can adjudicate that, right? That is a very simple market principle, right? Where it's like a contract violation. Like you said it was going to do this, it actually did that. How is it that we got to this place, Chip, where we now have these vaccine companies that we are not allowed to take them to court? It's illegal. Now, the argument was that, look, because the positives outweigh the negatives and we need mass inoculation. This happened in the 70s or early 80s. Do you think that needs to be re-looked at or kind of reconsidered? Because you have these companies that are printing billions of dollars and they're completely immune to the risk.
Well, this is a great question. And this would be a subject for an entire podcast itself, and I'm happy to. You know, I was in the Attorney General's office in Texas. I've dealt with some of these litigation questions when I was a lawyer for both Senator Cruz and Senator Cornyn in the Senate. And it raises interesting issues. Like right now, for example, there are complicated, you know, funds and, avenues for liability that the federal government blesses when they do these vaccine trials and so forth. But then there's the free market route, if you will. Like you said, it's okay, somebody wrongs me and I can go to court. But then there's limitations on that. And in this case right now, we have a limitation on what you can do to go after any of these companies. Why? Because the federal government said, hold on, we've got an emergency. So we're going to say on an emergency basis, shove this vaccine out there. Now, where's my recourse if the federal government is telling me you must be vaccinated, whether they do it by force of law or by shame, whether they empower the TSA to say you must be vaccinated to fly, or they shame you into it, or schools, or your children must be vaccinated at schools. All of those things shoves people in to get vaccinated. Now, what happens if everything goes south? What about the story I read the other day of a little boy who died from a myocardial issue, which I don't know for sure if it's a direct tie to the vaccine, but the parents say that they got a vaccine, their otherwise healthy kid, bam, died. What do we do? Who do we sue? Like that's, and that's an important thing. As a free market conservative, Charlie, you know, I always remind my conservative friends when we did a whole bunch of liability, liability reform, right? Tort reform, 15, 20 years ago. I'm for that because it was being abused by trial lawyers. However, look, the system is you either let the system grind people out, or you have massive regulation, or you allow people to go to court and sue in order to be made whole. And I don't ever want to take away the ability for me to be able to go to court and be made whole if I'm wronged, because that's an important part of letting the free market work.
Well, and I want to just want to make sure we explain to our audience why that's important, because then it makes the producer more aware of the potential downside of not creating something that might be completely satisfactory to the recipient, right? So, for example, if like McDonald's just had salmonella in every single one of their burgers and they were immune from salmonella lawsuits, they wouldn't inspect their meat as much, right? So because of that, they put in their own measures to make sure they're serving things correctly, because they might get sued by some massive plaintiff law firm, which you and I have, you know, a very particular disdain for these creatures, but they do serve a mechanism in the market, right? And so can you build that out even more?
Yeah, let me give you a perfect example. Asbestos. Most people are familiar with the fact that we used asbestos in a lot of products. It was a good product. It was a fire retardant. It was an insulator, and it helped a lot of people. It saved lives. It worked in submarines, all sorts of stuff. Here's the problem. We realized over time, when you get asbestos fibers in the air and you breathe them in, you get mesothelioma, or you get, you know, bad cancers. So what do you do about that? Well, we were heading down the road and all of a sudden trial lawyers are going crazy. They're suing everybody. Well, that's fine when you're suing people who knew or should have known that they should have done something better. They were aware and they kept producing it. But then what happened was trial lawyers started abusing it. They started claiming people were sick from mesothelioma who weren't. They had nothing to do with asbestos. So we passed reform in Texas called a medical criteria bill, which made if you fit within the square of this medical criteria, you could go sue. So that tamped down the trial abuse, but it allowed you to be made whole. At the same time, there was a federal effort to have a big $300 billion asbestos trust fund. I mean, that was big in 2005. Now that's chump change. $300 billion asbestos trust fund. It would have been horrible because the federal government would have been regulating it and killing it to death. So we were successful in killing that fund. But the medical criteria works in Texas, and now you can be made whole, and now you can hold these companies accountable, but now you don't enrich trial lawyers who are abusing the system like ambulance chasers. That's what you want to work here. You want to make sure that if you're going to go use this vaccine, because maybe you're 75 and you want to make sure you're okay because you think the risk is too high, or maybe you're a parent and you decide, you know, I'm on the line. Like, Charlie, I'm 48. I'm kind of on that line. On the whole issue. So do you get the vaccine or not? Don't get the vaccine if you're a 48-year-old male. You want to take in all the information. But if they're doing something that's going to cause heart issues and we figure that out, then we want to be able to go sue them because they should have known they knew or should have known. And that's, I think, really important. And right now we're rushing this out there. And I think the vast majority of Americans have no idea that they're kind of dangling with no avenue to go pursue if something's wrong with the vaccine.
And I just want to reiterate this, that this was a law passed by Congress that gave the pharmaceutical and vaccine manufacturers immunity. Now, the way that they relieved the skeptics or the opponents is they said, we are going to have rigorous and peer-tested approvals of those vaccines so that the downsides will be very minimal, right? That's how they kind of were able to satisfy both sides. I still have problems with that. So, Chip, can you help me understand? And again, we get smeared as anti-vaxxers. It's insane. I'm nowhere near that. I'm just simply asking questions. And I'm just really curious, especially when our students at Turning Point are being forced to take this vaccine. It's just, it's disgusting. Why is it, Chip, that we're not allowed to ask questions about this? Why is there an all-out massive propaganda campaign that personalizes this issue unlike anything I have experienced except the race issue?
You know, that's a great question that I think we need to fully explore, but that's definitively true. I want to make sure listeners know, your observation is definitively true. We are not allowed to ask these questions. If you ask these questions, I mean, I say by we, you and I are asking this question right now, and I'll be okay because I'm a member of Congress. You've got a pretty good microphone and some power behind what you're doing. But look, if you're the average person in a job, or if you're an average person out there who's just going through life and you ask that question about your students at school, and now all of a sudden your kids are going to get the scorn of the teachers unions. All of a sudden you're going to maybe get fired from your job because you dare ask the question about a vaccine. That's what we mean. That's what you and I mean, I think. I want to speak for you about when we say you can't dare ask these questions.
Well, that's exactly
the
what I mean.
Average.
Yes.
Yeah. The average American getting rolled over by corporate cronyism and government. If they dare say, hold on a second, I believe in vaccines, but I believe in vaccines that I've studied, read, understood. I want to take care of my kids, my family. I want to make an educated decision. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to do this on my schedule. If you do that, then all of a sudden you're an anti-vaxxer. All of a sudden you don't care about everybody else. But we've never done this for really any other illness, nothing like this. And I understand we've had some mandates in the past for students in dorms, people in close proximity. And I get that. And there's a fine line here. But right now, we're reacting within 6 months and saying, boom, go out and use the vaccine. By the way, the people doing this are the same people who are mocking President Trump, mocking the previous administration for saying, we're going to fast track and get a vaccine to market. And they said, no, you're not. Remember Kamala Harris saying, well, I would never advocate taking a vaccine that Donald Trump had anything to do with. But here they are now saying, you must take the vaccine. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Go look at my Twitter thread. I invite all your listeners, go look at my Twitter thread from my Tucker appearance or from my tweets saying something about the virus, and they all say, or the vaccine, and they all say, oh, you're a denier. You're an anti-vaxxer. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You want everybody to die. You know what I want? I want freedom. I want freedom from tyranny. I don't want a government, because the government who can come in and tell you you have to wear a vaccine, take a vaccine, the same government who can come down and shut your business down, the same government who can say your kids can't go to school and must be masked, that's the same kind of government that can step in and tell you anything at all, even as those people are taken to the streets in Cuba. We should be mindful of what you do when you empower government.
No, I completely agree. And so, again, I have made this an issue I've started to ask questions about. And again, we're used to backlash. We're kind of built for this, right? But it's been the most interesting backlash we've received, because it is the most untrue accusations I've ever got before. Like, I got the vaccines as a kid. Like, I got the flu shot when I was in high school. Like, I don't quite understand that you're an anti-vaxxer because you had Robert Kennedy on your program. I just sat there and asked questions. And I'm obviously saying that children shouldn't be forced to get this vaccine. I'm deciding not to get this vaccine. I've said that publicly. And so as a member of Congress, you obviously have oversight of all of these agencies. What should voters, because it's a national program, what should voters demand their elected officials do on this topic? Do we need kind of like a Church and Pike committee of the public health officials? Because I think that would be a great idea. Like, let's start to have a, instead of this ridiculous report on, you know, the January 6th thing, let's have a real committee on who's in charge of our public health. What are they funding? Did this come from China? Are the vaccine companies the ones that are pushing policy? Do we have this inside-out relationship of publicly traded pharmaceutical companies that are actually using the levers of government for their own benefit? Can you help me out with that? Because it seems as if there's this like corporate oligopoly that is in partnership with government that's calling all the shots.
I couldn't agree more. I used to serve on the House Oversight Committee. I had to give that up to be on House Judiciary Committee this year. But I may go back, but oversight in particular, and all the committees that have jurisdiction, we need to be pressuring our Democratic colleagues, because obviously as Republicans, we can't call the hearings right now. Democrats control all the levers. We can push for them, but they're the ones you can actually call them. We need them to call hearings on a nonpartisan basis. We're gonna just haul people in and let's have the conversation. Let's talk to some of the pharmaceutical executives.
Yes.
Exactly. How much money are you going to make from these vaccines? Who told you how much money you're going to make? What are you charging and how much are you getting? How much are you getting from government? How much are you getting from individuals? Okay, what are the actual side effects of these vaccines? How much have they been tested? When we read these stories about, you know, Johnson & Johnson pulled them off because of clotting, right, in women. Okay.
It's a big deal.
Then it went back on. Right. It's a huge deal, right? Women who might be pregnant, might be on birth control, they were like, ooh, hold on, there might be some clotting issues. That's a pretty big deal. My wife was thinking about getting that vaccine at that moment in time and then pulled back and then went and did more research. How about this neurological stuff? How about the heart issues that we've been reading about? I don't know if I know that those problems outweigh the benefits. I don't know, Charlie. I'm trying to take in the information and see. But we should also have an actual hearing about the honest data on the actual virus itself, so people can understand instead of being so, made to be fearful. How about we look and say, well, you know what? If you're a kid under 18, you have a 99.998% of surviving the virus if you get it. Okay,
that's right.
Forget not getting it. If you get it, it's 99.998. That is pretty much in flu territory, or actually better than flu.
That's right.
Now, if you're over, and how about everyone understanding 80% of people over 65, I think that's from memory, have been vaccinated. 80%. And some in a very large number, 159, I think, million people in the United States have been vaccinated. We are darn close to herd immunity, right? We've got between people who've had the virus, people who've been vaccinated. Everybody, if they know that information and then they know the risks, they can choose whether the vaccine is good for them or not. And I think that's what we need, are hearings that actually get to the truth. Unfortunately, we never have that anymore. That's another podcast in and of itself about how broken Congress is. But we should have those hearings, expose the truth. And I'll say one last point, if I may. I'm a cancer survivor. I was diagnosed 10 years ago, I think in like 2 weeks, with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was blessed to be able to go to MD Anderson, and I was the beneficiary of a trial drug. Okay, I was on an FDA trial for a drug that had already been pre-approved for relapse patients, and I was in a trial for new patients. And it was a great drug. It is now the standard of care. I had one of the best doctors in the world. He said, look, Chip, this is going to be the standard of care. And I went in Congress. I didn't get any special strings. I was just a guy. But I got this, in this trial, and it's great. It helped save my life. I was cancer-free within 2 months. I finished my chemo regimen, and knock on wood, I've been cancer-free for a decade. But I got excoriated by Democrats because 2 years ago in an oversight hearing, Katie Hill, remember Thruple, Katie Hill? Katie Hill is going after the Gilead CEO because he is making lots of money, Gilead, selling Truvada, right? Which is an AIDS drug. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, scratching my head, going, okay, you got this company, they're making a drug, they're making lots of money, it's saving a lot of people's lives who get AIDS, and you, Democrat, are excoriating them for making money. It's like, look, I don't want them to make money through corporate cronyism, but I do want them to make lots of money and roll in money if they can create drugs that save lives, like the one that saved my life when I had cancer. We've got everything backwards. Democrats want to be able to control everything, forgetting that the market produces these great drugs. But then they want to come in and say, no, we're going to control how much you can make. Then we're going to have the government make all the decisions on that. And guess what? Then you're a social welfare state and you don't produce the great things this country has always produced for the world.
And I would argue that some of these pharmaceutical companies, they're actually gotten really lazy. Instead of trying to be, kind of innovative and inventive, they would just rather game the system and just kind of get these that's why the vaccine is such an unusual thing. And I don't want anyone to look at this like anything else we've lived through, because this is a gift to the bottom line of Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson in a way that we've really never seen before. And it doesn't involve a tremendous amount of R&D, and they're completely immune from the risks of that. So I want to,
Charlie, on that point, Pfizer in their, I think, quarterly reports or whatever they were doing, they did their financial report in February. They said they were going to make $15 billion from this. $15 billion from
insane.
This. Yeah.
And so Chip, I want to focus on something you said, which I think you would appreciate. So growing up, I knew a lot of Democrats. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. You've been around Democrats your whole life in Congress, and you helped Ted, and so you're aware of all of that. But their complaint, especially when you were helping Ted run for the Senate, I think you helped him against Dewhurst, I might be wrong, but you were in that kind of orbit, was that Republicans are going to force you to do certain things. Republicans are going to get into your bedroom, and if you give Republicans power, you're not going to be able to live free. Remember, this was like the big overarching thing. And in a weird turn of events, it turns out that the Democrats have power. They're actually the authoritarians, and we're the ones that are actually defending this idea of like, no, actually, you shouldn't have to get a medical treatment against your will. Let me ask you this. You can go any way you want with it, but is it inevitable that the Democrats and their belief just end up at authoritarianism, or is this a short-lived moment? Or are you as concerned as I am that all of this kind of just goes back to a smaller group of people controlling our lives?
No, that's absolutely right. And one of the reasons I'm a conservative, and one of the reasons I talk about conservative principles, when I mean conservative, I mean a limited government, constitutional conservative. But that even gets too much in a box. I just believe in freedom. Right? I just believe in the individual, and I believe in community, and I believe in the ability to live according to the dictates of my conscience in Austin, Texas, or, you know, in Luckenbach, Texas, or in, you know, Beaufort, South Carolina, wherever it is. I want to choose how to live with like-minded individuals. And Democrats always know what's best for you. That's the bottom line. And we know how they exercise that belief through government and the power of government. They want to tell you right now that they know what's best for you. You will take this vaccine. Right. But that doesn't just stick to that one issue. It's bigger than that. And I think what we're seeing right now is the virus is exposing, and the reaction to the virus is exposing the reality of how Democrats actually do what they do. Let's look, for instance, at our schools. Right. Not to go down that path too far. But the veil is being lifted on our corrupt education system. All of a sudden, the American people are saying, Wait, what is this critical race theory garbage? And wait, hold on. They're teaching my kids what? A mom or a dad sitting there listening to the lecture in their home, and they're hearing what's happening with these kids being taught that America's evil, and that they should be ashamed of their race, and that they should be apologetic for being American, and that, you know, capitalism is bad and evil. And they're going, oh, hold on a second. All these things are the great things that made our country great, and we've had these issues. And we've been dealing with the race issue, and we're a greater country as a result of it. And I'm proud of being an American. Why are you teaching my kids that garbage? It's the same thing with this right now. Democrats believe in the power of government to be able to tell you how to live your life. Now, they'll say it's not tyrannical, but it is. Keep in mind what they did with respect to Donald Trump, right? Remember, he was going to be the devil, evil, and too much power. And Trump was going to use all this government power to harm all of the American people and Democrats. Well, exactly how did he do that? Show me the ways he did that. Yet Democrats are in power for a matter of months, and they're using the power of government in multiple ways to look into your records, to tell you what your, what virus or what vaccine you're going to take, to, you know, keep schools shut down, all these things. They are happy to use the power of government to tell you what to do. But I'd like to just see how Donald Trump was doing that in some way to undermine the freedom for the American people.
What's so funny is that that's what they always said we were going to do. Yeah. It's like, if you give Republicans power, they're going to make you do things you don't want to do. And there's like, that's never been the case. And yet they have power, and they're talking about going door to door trying to make you get the vaccine. So Congressman, you're one of the few members that is speaking out against this. Other Republican members are saying that we should just submit and get the vaccine at all costs. And all the, we don't even know if it's even effective against getting, you know, COVID-19. And the Chinese coronavirus. What is a way that we can actually come to a place where we can win on this issue and we could be left alone? What is it going to take? What is it going to take for us to draw the line? Now, my biggest fear, though, Chip, is that we're going to have vials of vaccines that are going to start expiring. And the true people who run our government, the pharmaceutical companies, are going to be whispering in the ear of the people with the guns to go after us. I know that sounds like a little bit like a chess move, but that's basically where we're at. What do we have to do to not be forced to take this vaccine? Because, look, I fly at 330 days a year, Chip. Am I going to have to be forced to get the vaccine to go through TSA? Am I going to be put on a no-fly list? Am I going to be allowed to go to a baseball game? Am I allowed? Can you help us with this?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, yesterday, as I was waiting to go on to Tucker's show, one of my staffers was at an event that I would have been at had I been able to be there with some constituents in a county that I represent. And the sheriff there said something to the effect of, if the federal vaccine, tyrants come after you, you call me and we'll get rid of them. Okay. We need more of that. We need more governors. We need DeSantis, Abbott, and others. We need local sheriffs, local county judges, and frankly, individuals. So, Charlie, my position on the vaccine has been very clear publicly since December when I was asked, will you get the vaccine congressman, and we were supposed to go do a public, you know, vaccination and go out and show that we are a patriotic Americans. We're getting the vaccine. And my position has been and will continue to be and will always be, it's none of your daggum business.
Yes.
You're not going to know whether I've had the vaccine. Nobody knows whether I've had the vaccine except for me, God, and my wife. And I will, that's where it's going to stay. And I think more Americans need to take that position. It is your business. It is no one else's business. And if they want to try to force down our throats for, you know, vaccine passports for flying and so forth, just say no and encourage governors and representatives to be just like DeSantis. Abbott did it too, although I wish it had been a little stronger like the DeSantis version, and say, you're not going to force private enterprise or force governmental entities in my state as governor to make people have a vaccine to go travel or have a passport or have, you know, get on cruise ships or anything else. The people need to retake our power of this. That's the only way this works.
So I want to, in the couple minutes we have remaining here, Chip, I want to just kind of shift gears to an unrelated topic because Texas is in the news. Yeah. It seems that you're in vacation in South Carolina. You missed your chance to go see all of the kind of like third-rate actors, like C-level sociopaths that decide to flee the state of Texas. What am I supposed to make of this? What are we supposed to make of this? We did a whole show on this. I read the voter integrity bill. It's honestly like super vanilla. This is not exactly scorched earth style politics. Am I missing something, or does it seem as if that the Democrats are just kind of want to be on cable television?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is literally all theater. And for your listeners out there, if you don't know, right, Texas Democrats and the state legislature have fled Texas for the great, wonderful confines of freedom and prosperity in Washington, D.C., and which should tell you, by the way, where their priorities are. It's not with Texans. They're fleeing to Washington, D.C. Like, I try to flee from Washington, D.C. back to Texas every day, every chance I get.
It's so funny.
But I'm a congressman, so I have to go to D.C. to represent my constituent. So these members of the state legislature have fled to D.C. in order to deny quorum to the Speaker of the House, governor, and those who have called a special session. So the Speaker, who's a Republican, and the governor are now saying, well, look, we're going to keep calling special session. And so I think we ought to be asking questions. Who's paying for their trip? Where are they staying?
Yep.
Who are they staying with? Who's paying for their food?
That's exactly
what are they doing?
Right.
And highlight everything they're doing. I want to know exactly who's, you know, funding all of this. And then highlight the absurdity that instead of doing their job, if they want to take the floor of the House and debate the issue of election integrity, fine. You know, go ahead and put your big boy or big girl pants on and go down there and do the debating. But at the end of the day, this is a very simple election reform bill. There is nothing controversial in it. It's similar to Major League Baseball when they said, oh, I've got an idea. Let's move the All-Star game from Atlanta, a 50% black city, and move it to Denver, a 10% black city, so that all the white yuppie liberals out there who drive their Subarus and feel good about themselves with their Apple stickers on their car can go, yay, look at me. I'm in Denver and we're going to have the All-Star game. You know, meanwhile, they did nothing to actually advance race relations, all because what? Georgia had a bill that would have had election reforms that were very similar to Colorado's. They're almost identical. Texas's are kind of in the same zip code. These are not hard or difficult issues, right? Should you have a voter ID? Should you have a voter ID associated with a mail-in ballot? Should you limit mail-in ballots to those who actually need it? Should you have, you know, the ability to check and make sure that the ballot goes with the envelope, et cetera, et cetera. These are common sense reforms. And yet this is somehow being sold as somehow against the Voting Rights Act or somehow trying to suppress votes. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so I look forward to when I get to D.C. next week, we got to go back in session in Congress, challenging my Texas Democratic colleagues to come debate us anywhere, come meet us anywhere. I mean, I'll be in D.C. doing my job. They should be in Austin doing theirs.
The last thing I want to ask you about, and I know that you have limited oversight capacity, but I would be remiss not to mention this because I know you share a concern about this, is our intel agency spying on conservative journalists and spying on Tucker Carlson. This is one of the top concerns for those of us that are in the media world, that the government is always looking over our shoulder, looking at our text messages, looking at emails, potentially infiltrating. I know you're in the minority. This is a great reason and rallying cry to take back the majority so we can call these committees to heel. As I mentioned, I think we need a Church and Pike committee for like five different things: public health and surveillance state, government overreach, bureaucracies, long past time. Can you comment on that, Chip, about how our government very well is probably spying on Tucker Carlson, and what else are they doing?
Yeah, happy to. And two different answers to that. The first answer is exactly in the bucket you just talked about. The extent to which we're being spied upon. Look, you know, last night, talking about Democrats looking at text messages about whether you're saying the right stuff about the issue of the vaccine.
They used my text messages as an excuse for that, by the way, in the story. Right. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah. And so you know that we've got that problem. But then at the same time, right, we Republicans have got to get religion about spending. We're funding all of this garbage. No, now, I know that's a little off topic, but it's true. Stop funding the bureaucrats who are taking away your freedom. Stop funding the teachers. Stop funding the universities. Stop funding the spying agencies. Stop funding the FBI. Stop funding the Department of Justice, unless we're going to demand that they do the things they're supposed to do. But we should have hearings. And when Republicans take back the House, we should immediately have hearings on Fourth Amendment, on our rights, on ensuring that we're not being spied upon. We need to jack down all of those agencies, call them to the carpet, force them to look outside of America on enemies, foreign, and to use our intelligence capabilities that way. And we need to look at the Department of Justice, for example. Who are the 500 Americans who were arrested for January 6th? Right? Who are they and why? Like, how much of that was politicized? I am absolutely confident that dozens probably of those people deserve to be arrested because they did things they shouldn't have done. But there are dozens or hundreds of people who are arrested that I think was very much about a political witch hunt in and around January 6th. And, you know, heaven forbid you have a rational view about that day and say, hey, wait a minute, the Department of Justice should come forward to the, you know, House Judiciary Committee and answer for how they're using the power of the law to go after American citizens. We should have hearings about that, hearings about pharmaceutical companies and how much money they're making on the vaccine. We should have hearings about the size and scope of Amazon, Google, Facebook and Apple and the companies that are, you know, denying people access to the market, denying small companies access to market. And we should have open hearings on all of those issues and a shine into the light of day and the corrupt education system that has been denying a generation of Americans the belief, that the understanding of how great their country is.
I totally agree. I just want to say, Congressman, thank you for being willing to talk about the vaccine openly and say that just in an honest fashion, that there's a lot we don't know and that there are negative side effects for some people potentially, and not just be dogmatic about it. It takes courage because some of these Republicans have been so insanely disappointing on this topic. And again, this is not like the number one issue of my life. I just don't like it when all of a sudden I feel as if the pressure of the world saying, like, you can't say that, you can't talk about it. But you deserve credit for that. You really do, because it's for what, in this weird moment that we're in, you're just not allowed to talk about this. So,
well, Charlie, thanks for giving me the opportunity to clarify. I had 2 minutes on Tucker at the very end of the show, and so it wasn't 100% clear, I think, about where I was coming from. So you just can't fit it in 2 minutes.
Yes.
But to be very clear, you just nailed it. I mean, about where we're very simpatico on this. The American people deserve to be able to make decisions on their own based on the truth. They shouldn't have to be shamed into it. We should be very skeptical about putting anything into our bodies and make a decision based on that, whether it's, you know, whether it's liquor and illegal drugs, or whether it's, you know, good for you food and fruits and vegetables and where they come from, or whether it's a vaccine or medicine. We control what goes into our body, and only us.
I totally agree. So, Congressman, thank you so much. Chip Roy, how could people stay in touch with you and follow you? My audience has been telling me, Charlie, you have to do a better job of telling people how they can follow it. So just plug anything you want. Here you go.
Yeah, sure. No, I appreciate it. ChipRoy.com, ChipRoy.com. That's my political website. Roy.house.gov is my official site. Twitter, ChipRoyTX, ChipRoyTX is my Twitter handle. And, you know, look, Charlie, keep doing what you're doing. Let's visit again soon. And I really appreciate you shining the light on so much that needs to be exposed for the American people.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much, Chip. Talk to you soon.
God bless.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.